This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, December 31st. Well, we're finally going to wrap up 2020 and can't come fast enough. But the grain market's on a very strong note heading into the end of the year. We've seen some impressive rallies in wheat, corn, and beans just over the last month. And it doesn't look like there's much reason for either any of those markets to pull back, at least in the near term. With wheat, of course, the fundamentals just keep getting more bullish. We've had short crops in Europe. We've had shorter than expected in Argentina. Had the second biggest crop ever in Australia. Had tied the record in Russia, which, of course, normally would think that you would have a bear market just for that reason alone. But the southern region of Russia had a short crop, and exporters there oversold the production. They had to reach further inland. That pushed prices up for not only wheat, but flour, feed grains, bread. And the government stepped in and said, we're not going to let that much wheat move. So starting February, the middle of February, they imposed a $30 a ton export tax. But then they started slow walking export certifications for cargoes that would be leaving immediately. So basically, they just kind of shut off Russian exports at the drop of a hat. And exporters are not offering any FOB bids. So we don't have the competition from Russia, which is a huge bullish component to the wheat market. Australia is really the one country keeping wheat prices in check because they had a huge crop. They're moving it as fast as they can, and kudos to them. That's the first decent crop they've had in 4 years, and they're making the most of it. Argentina normally would have a bigger presence this time of year, but their top end of yields got shaved off toward the end of the growing season. Most of what they will move has been committed to Brazil. And then they've got a drought going on for corn and soybeans, as does the southern part of Brazil. So today, the Argentine government shut off corn exports for the next 2 months, hoping to bridge the gap between old crop and new crop and protect supplies that are the remaining old crop supplies in the face of this drought. And the trade is talking that the government could extend that, you know, and likely would extend that if the drought continues, which, at least for the next 2 weeks, forecasts suggest that it will. So we've seen the corn really take off here, especially this week, but even over the last month, it's been working its way higher, just a slow, steady grind, up two, up three, up four. This past week, we've seen it have some 5, 6, 7 cent days, but it's not like we've seen the hyperbolic moves yet. And same thing with beans. We've had one day where we're up about 40 cents, and that was earlier this week on thin holiday trade. But hedge funds have found themselves in a bit of a box here. You know, they really haven't been aggressive getting long the grain space at all, in particular corn and beans. And yet the drought continues in South America, and it's the end of the year. A lot of these guys, they're gone from Thanksgiving until after New Year. So there's been, you know, lighter volume. They haven't really been paying that much attention. And the guys that are, they want to show their portfolios, hold these markets, are having to do that during the holiday season. And that's part of the push higher on this thin volume trade. But the fundamentals are there. They justify the market being strong and well supported, as we've seen. That next day after the 40 cent move, they tried to break the bean market and couldn't do it. And the market just reversed itself, came back up, and we're into new contract highs really across the board on beans and corn. Wheat is at a 6-year high. So it's really remarkable to see how this market has turned around in the last couple months. And it actually started in August, especially late August, when dry temperatures, you know, finally started to get the attention of the market. In particular, dry conditions across Iowa, which really had been dry all season. And then, of course, you had the derecho winds, which blew down a lot of Iowa acres and in the western Midwest in general. That finally, you know, finally looked at yields being shaved off for corn and soybeans in the western part of the Midwest. And then that took production down, of course. Then you had just absolutely stellar demand from China, buying everything they could get their hands on. And so quickly, we found ourselves in a very tight stock situation for soybeans. Now, of course, as the market rallied, Brazilian farmers were going to plant fence row to fence row, and they did. But dryness pushed back a lot of that and pushed back the plantings, is delaying or just eliminating some plantings in Argentina, with the government imposing, this tariff on exports or restricting exports. Farmers are looking at dry conditions and declining domestic prices now, and they're going to be probably opting just not to plant the first crop at all. So it really has changed the dynamics of the grain space in the last third of the calendar year. And as we head into next year, again, the 2-week forecast at least shows more dry conditions across southern Brazil and pretty much all of the main growing areas of Argentina. This is the heart of the growing season. You're going to be harvesting actually in northern Brazil here as we get into January. But southern Brazil, Argentina, you're getting into the flowering stages, filling stages as we work our way through January. And it just doesn't seem to be any relief, at least for these next 2 weeks. And that's going to be critical. That's why we see the markets just continuing to push higher. And again, the fundamentals are very strong. It's a demand-driven market, and now you're throwing some weather issues on it, and that just is it's like, putting fire to gunpowder. I think this has absolutely huge potential to the upside. If that comes to pass, and it will know over the next 4 to 5 weeks if that's going to be an issue or not. And again, to me, it looks like it certainly will be for these next couple weeks at least. That'll pull wheat higher. Even though wheat has its own bullish fundamentals, certainly it's going to tag along with corn and soybeans. And I think Chicago will be the bigger component to that. It will move faster than Kansas City. So that, I think, will widen those spreads back out and give us the opportunities that we're looking for to get back in that. Because I think ultimately, 6 months from now, that Kansas City will be premium to Chicago. And we're not that far behind. We're only like on the front month, March, we're 40 under. The new crop July is 23 under, which is a good 50 cents off its low already. But I think that you will regain those premiums and that the markets will continue to work higher. What we're seeing from the early FSA crop insurance results are that wheat plantings are higher than last year for the first time in years, and that soft red is leading the way up about another 1 million acres, which is a big deal. That takes away acres from corn and beans, number one, because those are acres that are in the Midwest. But it also will increase production significantly. That's not where your dry areas are. And hard red winter wheat is looks to be up slightly, but that's where your weather problems are. And the hard red is also what Russia grows and where its weather problems are. So I think the stage is set for some big dynamics in wheat. That is not really going to materialize until we get into March at the earliest and start to see some the crop breaking dormancy and get a look at see if La Niña is still around, if we're going to continue these dry conditions in the U.S. Southern Plains and the Russian southern region. So there, we're kind of in a holding pattern as far as wheat supply situation goes. The demand is there, it's strong, and we don't have the competition from Russia. We have very little competition from Europe because of a short crop. So it really just opens the doors wide open for the United States once Australia kind of gets out of the way, which likely would be as we get into the February timeframe. The other thing to keep in mind is, these high prices in corn and beans are going to attract a lot of acres. They're going to pull acres out of cotton, and they're going to be looking seriously at marginal wheat acres. As the crop breaks dormancy and we get a look at just what it looked, I mean, it didn't go into dormancy in good shape in the Western Plains. There are, farmers have choices there, and they could go to sorghum, they can go to soybeans, they can go to corn. So, these strong row crop prices are going to be tugging at the wheat market. And same thing with the Northern Plains, where you would see spring wheat acres. North Dakota in particular, and even eastern Montana for that matter, they'll go to soybeans. And so We could be looking at Minneapolis having to do some heavy lifting as we get into the spring and try to protect its acreage base. So I don't see the grain space backing off here. There's a strong fundamental reason why the markets would be well supported until you are done seeding in the United States, and that's a long way off. The demand base is there, which is, such a critical component of a lasting bull market, and we definitely have that in place. And we have some supply scares going on as we speak in the South American growing areas, and we have the potential for that in Northern Hemisphere with Russia and the United States. So it's one of those deals where keep your powder dry, wait for the markets to give you some hyperbolic price action where you get 2-3 days in a row of just extended price moves, then start to lay on some selling. But until then, I think the market is just going to grind its way higher and still give us a better opportunities for selling down the road. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.